Let us pray. Loving God, you are the light of minds that know you, the life of hearts that love you, the strength of those who seek you. As we read together and listen for your word, help us to know, so we might truly love you, so to love you that we might fully serve you, and serving you that we might know the freedom and light and share it as you have asked. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 2 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
The group of Jewish rabbis was obviously nervous as they entered Herod's palace. Herod was a tyrant. What was worse, he was an eccentric and unpredictable tyrant whose wrath might fall on anyone at any time. The safest thing was to avoid him as much as possible. But they had been summoned to the palace by Herod himself, and they had no idea what Herod wanted. When they entered the throne room, they discovered that there were others already there. A group of men whose strange clothing marked them as foreigners from the Far East, as magi, priest astrologers of an Eastern pagan religion. This must be the group of men who had upset the whole city of Jerusalem by asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Herod was blunt, as usual. He asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" That was no problem for the rabbis. They knew the answer by heart. "In Bethlehem, your majesty. For the prophet has written, 'For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" "Thank you. That's all I needed to know. You are dismissed." It was a relieved group of rabbis who left Herod's palace. That had gone so much better than they feared it might. Why did Herod want to know where the Messiah would be born. Oh, well, who knows what Herod was thinking? They're just glad to get out of the palace without any trouble with the king. So, what happened after this interview? Well, the Magi went on to Bethlehem. They offered their gifts to the young Christ child. And the rabbis went home. Isn't that amazing? The rabbis went home. Those rabbis were wise men. They were experts in the scripture. They didn't have to consult reference books to answer Herod's question. They knew the answer. But, doesn't this amaze you? But they never went to Bethlehem to find the Messiah. I mean, it wasn't a long trip. From Jerusalem to Bethlehem is about as far as from here to the airport. And they never went to Bethlehem. Don't you wonder why? Why would scholars who were looking for the coming of the Messiah not follow up on a clue which seemed to indicate that Messiah had been born? Well, I think the most likely answer to that question is prejudice. The Jews at that time were terribly prejudiced against Gentiles. They thought of them as Gentile dogs. They believed that Israel and Israel alone was the object of God's love and care. And so the idea that Gentiles would receive a revelation about the birth of the Messiah, no matter how that revelation came, would seem utterly preposterous. Now, that prejudice had a certain amount of turf protection involved in it. These rabbis were God's representatives, God's spokespersons for the people. If they had gone to Bethlehem, they would have undermined their position by even considering that God might speak to Gentiles. If they'd found the Messiah there, it would have been worse. They would have had to eat their words. They would have had to admit they had been wrong. So it's better to laugh it off and stay home. Now, that should make us stop and think. Just what kind of people were these rabbis? The honest answer that I'd have to give is that they were people like me. They were religious. They were students of the scripture. They were men whom other religious people respected. And yet, they totally missed the point of what God was doing. Now, we can do the same thing, you know. We can be sure that God will always work within our comfort zones and fail to see new and different things that God is doing today. We can fail to follow the Lord Jesus because we don't like the path he's taking. We need to be aware of that temptation. We need to ask God to keep our hearts and minds open to God's leading, even when God leads in ways that we would not choose. Let's just think about that for a moment. When we come to worship, don't we want to experience something that's familiar to us? I don't care if you're my age or the age of my great-grandchildren. Isn't it true that we come here hoping to experience something that fits our preferences? Whether it's the music or the sermon or whatever it is, don't we hope for something that fits inside our comfort zone? What this passage tells us is that God doesn't worry about our comfort zones. God doesn't worry about our comfort zone. God often works in ways that blow us away rather than make us feel comfortable. So let's not try to limit God. God simply can't be limited, we know that. But let's ask God to open our hearts and our minds so that we'll be ready to follow no matter where God leads us. Matthew is the only gospel writer who has included this story. Why would Matthew think it important enough to include in his gospel? Well, Matthew's gospel was first written to Jewish Christians at the time when Gentiles were beginning to enter the church, and when the church had decided that Gentiles did not have to become Jews, did not have to be circumcised, did not have to keep the purity laws of the Old Testament to be saved. Many Jewish Christians had trouble with that decision, and so Matthew introduces the Magi. When we look at the Christmas story, it is a totally Jewish story, isn't it? Mary and Joseph were Jews. Jesus was obviously a Jew. The shepherds are Jews. Bethlehem is a Jewish town filled at that time with Jews who are descended from King David. The story is Jewish from beginning to end until the Magi appear. The Magi were Gentiles, and they were the worst kind of Gentiles. They may have been descendants of the Babylonians and the Persians who had destroyed Jerusalem and had taken the Jewish people as exiles into their distant lands. But they certainly were astrologers who tried to foretell the future by studying the stars. Their whole lives were devoted to practices which the Jewish law clearly forbade. These were the kind of people with whom no respectable Jew would associate. And yet God revealed the birth of Christ to them in a way that they would understand, and they came to worship the King of the Jews. And so from the very beginning of this new work that God was doing, this work of taking on our human nature so that we might be reconciled to God, from the very beginning that was a work that involved Gentiles, even the worst kind of Gentiles. And so Matthew would say that this means that the church that was becoming a new society in which Jews and Gentiles could lived together in loving fellowship had been prefigured at the time of Jesus' birth by the weird and wonderful appearance of the Magi. The Magi were symbols of change. They were risk takers on a huge scale. Ancient tradition says they came from Persia, Arabia, and far off India. The trip they faced was extremely risky. It was long, hard, dangerous, and expensive. They risked an inquiry into the meaning of the star, not knowing what they would learn. They risked a search for the King of the Jews, not knowing what or who they would find. They took a chance that their lives might be changed, and I certainly believe that their lives were changed. I can't imagine them returning home unchanged, can you? Those ancient traditions say that they all became Christians. I have no trouble believing that. They experienced God's direction and God's grace. And no one is unchanged who experiences God. So the question that the Magi hold before us is this: are we willing to be changed? Are we willing to be changed? Are we willing to open our hearts and minds to the marvelous love of God in Jesus Christ? Are we willing to have the good news touch our hearts as well as our heads? To have it make us change our minds, change our ways of living, to give us new priorities, new values, new goals. Epiphany means a revelation of God. It also means a moment of sudden revelation or insight. In this Epiphany season, may God reveal himself to us in a new way and grant us the grace to follow where he leads us, even if it takes us outside our comfort zones. Amen.